Hey everyone, welcome to the show, My So-Called Fabulous. I'm Tiffany. Welcome everyone. And you know, one of the pillars of my platform and one of my passions is fashion. I just love fashion. I love being an entrepreneur, but I love how I feel when I'm wearing something that makes me feel good. And it could be to a gala, it could be at home, going to the gym, whatever the case may be. And I have found that fabulous resource. A few years ago, I just came in contact with Gibson Look. And I am so blessed. Susie Turner, the owner, CEO of Gibson Look, flew in today from Utah. She flew in from Salt Lake City, and she is in the studio today. I'm a little starstruck. So Susie's here. Everyone, welcome Susie to the show. Welcome, girl.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here. I'm really excited to talk with you and get to know you better.
Well, I guess absolutely.
I know you and I don't know you.
I know. So how we know each other is I work with Susie's brand, Gibson Look. And if you're not familiar with Gibson Look, we're going to have in the show notes, go to their Instagram. You'll actually see myself, my daughter, on there with reels. And we have been working together probably about a year or so.
I think it's been about a year.
About a year.
A little longer, but yeah.
Yeah. So,
and we love working with mother, daughter, and people who have great style. So it's been a pleasure.
Well, it has.
We love it. Well.
So we started working together, and you can follow along on my feed and their feed with several different influencers, but showcasing your fashion. And I am so excited you're here today to share about Gibson Look and your history and how you got started, because I do have people ask me, how do you get started in a business? Like, what happened? And people don't realize the sleepless nights and the money involved. But then the thrill that you're doing something that just is making a difference and a passion, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think so much of it is kind of in you. When you're young, you can start to see. I was always thinking of ideas. I was always kind of like, I wonder if this would work, or I wonder. And I ended up, I worked at Nordstrom. So that was a very, they gave a lot of freedom at that time when I worked there. And you were really responsible for making your business happen. And that was just a thrill, an absolute thrill for me. And so I think I saw that pretty early on and just wanted to keep going. And I often think of the differences between entrepreneur and founder, because I think now with Gibson Look, I'm more of a founder. It's a lot more of a, it's a lot more hands-on. As an entrepreneur, you're kind of always thinking of those ideas. And in the earlier years, that is a big part of what I was doing, was constantly kind of leaning into these new ideas that I had and wanted to start something. And that was such a thrill for me. The passion was there. So it's almost like following your heart, always just really listening to what's happening, what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. And so with Nordstrom, is that where your passion for fashion was born?
I don't know where the passion for my mother and my grandmother took me shopping, I think, daily. I don't know if she would admit that, but
wow.
We would just go wander. We lived in a small town. We had just one department store. It was called ZCMI. I think it was one of the first department stores in the US or something. It was old. It had been around for a really long time. And we would just wander that store and have lunch there. And I loved smell. I was talking to my husband the other day and said, I love when I walk into, it still smells like it did when I was young.
It's still there.
I mean, ZCMI is not there anymore. But going into stores like Nordstrom or Neiman Marcus or Dillard's, any of them, there's just a sense of something I love. Even, boutique stores. And it's all just so curated and lovely. It's a fabulous space. I love it.
I love this story, because let me tell you a story. This is irony. And I didn't plan this. When you just mentioned that store, where I went growing up, I'm from a very tiny town.
Okay.
Tiny town, Wortham. Oh, population's probably around 1,000 now. But
yeah.
Gibson's was the store that you went, and my grandmother, my mom, good, we'd shop for shoes. Oh, is that, and your Gibson look.
What? That is,
I mean, that's crazy. The irony. So
that
I mean,
is the irony.
I get that, but I remember we'd get dressed up and go, and we'd have tuna fish sandwiches or pimento cheese sandwiches or whatever, but that is so cool, isn't it? So you moved into Nordstrom's, and that, were you in sales?
I was in sales, and then I was a buyer, and I was there for about nine or 10 years, maybe. And then bought for different areas. And I loved, I mean, I think I knew the minute that I started there how much I was going to love it. I love selling. I love the camaraderie. There was just so many things about it that I hadn't experienced before in my life. And so I was committed. I was in. And then left Nordstrom when I had my son, and had some inspiration from my cousin Julie, and she had left. She had been working at Nordstrom, and she started selling for another brand, and so that's kind of the direction I took. And then eventually that turned into creating our own brands, and then the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
Because you started 2007 Gibson look, correct?
We started Gibson in 2000. I think it was around 2000, between 2005 and 2007.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was your vision at the time? You said your husband was an entrepreneur and you just both had this vision together. So tell us what did you know? You're like, okay, I want dresses, women's wear.
The brand is named after my grandmother, and she was in a 1920s girls band. They were a jazz band, so there were between six and nine of them at any given time.
Wow.
And when I was young, we would dress up in her clothing. So by the time we started Gibson Look, I had started a couple of brands and was selling them to retailers. And I just wanted something that was a little bit closer to my heart, a little bit more, something I could kind of lean into. Prior to that, I was really looking for, one of my strengths is finding items that a lot of people will like. Mm-hmm. And so I was leaning into that. And then I was like, you know, it'd be really great if we could do something that had fashion to it and was a little bit more trend forward. And so it just developed over time. And it's funny how the brand evolved. I think we would design items and then the customers would really kind of buy on to certain things. And one of our first items is still one of our very best selling items.
And what is that?
That's the notch collar blazer.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
And it's evolved a bit and we've changed it. But
wow,
essentially, it's the same item.
And y'all, you have to see on Gibson Look, we have all this in the show notes, but their Instagram, the notch collar blazer, I own six that I love so much. It's so versatile.
Yeah.
You can dress it up, you dress it down. I love it. My followers love it. So, and y'all take a look at it and use code Tiffany. Use code Tiffany 10. Please, my goodness. sell, right? But that, I mean, that blazer, I saw that the other day on a newsletter or something, that has been the all-time.
It has. We've sold so many and the comments are so great. And the reason we designed that blazer was because, I mean, I love a third piece. I think it's crucial to every wardrobe. It elevates things and it's like that one piece that you can always have in your wardrobe. Mm-hmm. And so when we designed that item, it was kind of this, something I really love is wearing denim with dressed up blouses. And it was like this piece that you could kind of throw over your shoulders and go. And it's a knit fabric.
Yes.
It's not actually a dressy blazer fabric because I wanted it to kind of look elevated, but be really casual. And that has just stuck through. People just love it.
Love it.
And we've developed that fabric into other styles. We have more than one blazer now that's made out of that fabric.
Absolutely.
Very good. Yeah.
So let me interrupt the show just for a minute. Eating healthy has always been a priority. However, when life gets busy, it makes it harder to maintain healthy eating habits, which is why I'm loving Personal Trainer Food. Personal Trainer Food is an easy and cost-efficient way to have healthy meals ready in minutes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. With 75-plus restaurant-quality menu items to choose from and meal plans designed to fit your needs, these delicious meals make it easier than ever to reach your health goals. Simply select your plan, your meals, and get 7 to 24 days worth of meals delivered right to your doorstep. So far, y'all, my favorite meals are egg bites in the morning and fire-braised chicken breast during the day or at night. Head to personaltrainerfood.com to get started and use code TIFFANY35 for 35% off your order. Again, that's personaltrainerfood.com. Use TIFFANY35 at checkout. So tell us what your involvement is. Do you design? Do you create? I mean, what is your, how much is your hand in this?
It's still, I really love the determining the direction of what we do for the next season. But we have an incredible merchandiser. She's been with us for 6 years, maybe longer. Her name is Beth Fleming, and she's so incredible. I don't know how to tell her story, but she worked for Nordstrom for years and developed a lot of brands for them, and came to work with us in 2018. And she's just a star in regards to creating product, and she manages and works with our design team. So we have two designers as well, and they're very talented. They've been with us for a long time also. And they pick our colors before the season. They really watch the trends and kind of keep us, you know, in line with what's happening. And then we try to be just a little bit ahead of the curve, but not too far ahead. We're really kind of in that middle space where it's understandable, but fashionable.
Right.
Yeah. Makes you feel great, but it doesn't make you feel like you're walking out, you know, in a space that you're not comfortable with.
Absolutely. And is the demographics, the age of the women that shop?
I mean, that's a funny thing. It's kind of changed over the years. But right now, what we're really seeing is that it's from like 25 to 55. So we wanted that. We wanted to kind of bridge that gap between mothers and daughters. That's mm-hmm. a big part. Yeah. We love working with you and Kennedy, and knowing that your daughter would pick something from our line, but that also you feel confident in wearing it. So we don't really think that fashion has an age, and we try to lean into that.
Right.
And so I think that's worked. I think it's been a success.
It does. And we laugh about this in my household, because my daughter, although she doesn't live with me, I feel like she does, because the jumpsuit I have on today is a pretty new release.
It's brand new.
And it's the flutter sleeves. It is so comfortable, y'all. If you're on YouTube now, you can check it out. But and I have a reel on this. But she is 25. I'm 59.
Yeah.
We're the same size. And it's gone. Like, I'm like, get your own.
We'll have to send her one.
You know what I mean? I mean, and it's just, it's great, because I do love that. And I have friends that wear Gibson Look, and they're like, my daughter wears it too. And that is such a compliment to me, to a brand, right?
I think so. I think you should be, I mean, you know, there's younger brands, and then there's brands that are, I think, but yes, I think from a fit perspective, we pride ourselves on making sure that we kind of bridge that. And some things lean a little younger, and some things lean a little bit more mature. But I think at the end of the day, really, personal style is just so much about what you feel great in, not mm-hmm. about any of that.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think, Susie, about people? What do you think when people mix and match your items with whatever their style may be?
I mean, we love,
you know, if it's clogs or if it's, you know, sneakers or whatever, do you enjoy seeing that?
I think we enjoy seeing that it still makes someone feel, our entire platform and everything is about women's empowerment. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of leans into that. Find your style, find what you love. And if what we're designing fits into that, great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have no problem.
Not at all.
Yeah,
I love that, because you can mix and match with whatever, you know, I do, and I love it. I mean, I wear my notch collar blazer with my designer jeans, and then I wear it with my shorts that, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think that we see that blazer in so many different, I mean, it has a big following. So we see a lot of different, types of outfits being, you know, worn with that blazer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it elevates a lot of different looks. That's great.
So through marketing, and you and I know each other through marketing, and I am in influencer marketing, and you and I believe you said 2017 really brought on that type of marketing.
Yes.
And if you would have asked me this when I was in college, it wasn't written in the handbooks that we were going to be doing what we're doing now.
No.
And you've seen the changes, right?
We have. In 2017, we had an influencer working. Okay, it was kind of random. I was thinking about that story the other day. Like, I really should land on how that went. But one of our employees noticed that the Notch collar blazer had, we were only selling at Nordstrom at the time. And some other, we were at other stores, but our main retailer was them. And they had a big selection of that item. And suddenly we saw a lot of units sell. And he called me and he said, you're not going to believe, like, I think we just sold 600 blazers or something. And I was like, what happened? Who
bought it?
I was like, I think it was an influencer. So he sort of dug in and found out we had sent this blazer to one of our influencers. And sure enough, she had sold through a color. And so I got on a call with her and just started talking and realized that at the core, I love collaborating. We had always designed brands for, we were doing product development for retailers in their own labels. And that is, a lot of that is collaborating with someone else. And it's a big part of who I am. I love doing it. And this just felt like the right move. So suddenly we were collaborating with influencers and creating their own collections. And I felt like that was empowering. You know, it was a really new thing. We were putting those collections into Nordstrom. So it was elevating the influencer, and it was introducing us to their audience. So it was a very good synergy between the two of us, and sales were great.
Right.
And so we launched maybe 3 or 4 collections at Nordstrom and did some of the biggest volume for that time frame of influencer drops. And that I credit that to kind of opening my mind to really the growth and the development of influencer marketing.
Right.
Yeah. We learned so much during that time. And I love it. I love working with influencers.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I do still hear, and it's typically my age group, I would say, give or take 10 years, of it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
I kind of thought you were going to say that.
You know what I mean?
What are you doing?
Yeah. What are you doing? Yeah. I mean, because I'm in this to make money, and it's a business for me. It's
sure.
Like you were saying before the show, we are our own department store, basically, each influencer.
Yeah, you're kind of going out there and you're buying. If you had your own store, you'd be buying whatever it is that you love and putting in your store. And you probably wouldn't have to put hashtag sponsored on that.
No.
And, right. And there's something to that, I think, because your audience really trusts your style.
Yes.
And they really trust, if you say it's good quality, they believe that. And that is as good as a review. It's better than a review. And it gives confidence. You can kind of see, what am I going to wear today? And go and check that out.
Exactly.
With your favorite influencers.
And you know, just when you're saying in 2017, when you started this, I mean, your heart was opened, your mind was open.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was a shock to me that this my business could end up where it is. And,
yeah.
And people do listen because they trust you. And
how long have you been? To interrupt quickly.
No.
Have you been doing this?
Since 2019.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I started this podcast in 2020, right there when we started that pandemic.
Yeah.
Yay.
But people are probably really excited.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Time to start it.
That's right. Speaking of your podcast.
Yes.
You just started a podcast. Right. I mean, good for you. Are you enjoying it?
I am enjoying it. I don't love being in front of the camera. Mostly because it's just not my familiar space, you know, but I also love getting to know our audience. And part of why we really wanted to go direct to consumer was to do that, to get to know our audience better, to feed what they wanted and give them more of what they loved. And of course, you know, better our product all the time. And so, but through the pandemic, and that was early in the pandemic, it was a big hit for us because the retail stores that we were in stopped ordering. So we owned so much product that was sitting in our warehouse. And had we not have worked with influencers and been able to reach the audience that we were selling to, I don't know that they would have so easy. Yeah, I don't know that they would have easily transferred to shopping at Gibson Look, because you kind of have to trust where you're shopping from.
Right.
They did know the brand. So that was, you know, I think over time we've realized from reviews and talking with our customers that they knew of us through the retail platforms that we were selling at. But I think I got a little lost in my question here. But oh, so we were working with influencers. And in that time, in these 4 or 5 years since doing that, so much of our front-facing marketing is influencers that they're like, who owns this brand and mm-hmm. who are these people? And so I feel really excited to get out there and tell the story behind the brand, where we've been, what we do, why we do what we do.
Right.
And so that is really the intent of the podcast. And the first 3 episodes are like, who is Susie Turner? Where did this start? And kind of to give the audience, give our customers something to trust and know that we've been doing this for a while and know that we listen to them and we're doing it because of that.
Exactly.
Which has been really fun.
That is so great. And your podcast is A Closer Look, and we're linking that in the show notes, yeah. Everyone, so you can really dive deep with Susie Turner and Gibson Look. So talking about the pandemic, was that the biggest challenge for Gibson Look, or can you say, or...
The biggest challenge. I think that has been our biggest challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if it was the brand's biggest challenge. The brand kind of thrived and came into its own through those years. Because prior to that, since we weren't since we were selling our inventory on another platform with other retailers, we were kind of limited to what did well for them. So we've been able to define more who we are and what products we believe in. And so that has been a gift. But, and we were shipping product out to the retailers and then just making sure that they were profitable.
Sure.
Now we're ordering product, bringing it into our warehouse, shipping it to our customers, managing their returns, managing our website. You know, the breadth of what we do now is tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never worked more than I do in the past 5 years.
Right.
But what I love about that is that I was kind of like, yeah, in a few years, we're done. This was great. It was really fun. But we've accomplished what we wanted to accomplish. And now I feel completely different, where I've enjoyed learning about marketing and e-commerce. And there's so many things that I loved that I never would have done.
Wow.
So while it's been really hard, it's been a gift.
Yeah. Susie, I've worked for many companies, many, many companies in my career. I'm a chef by trade. I've worked for big magazines, big orgs. And this is the hardest I've ever worked in my life. I've never worked harder in my life, but it's the most rewarding, you know, and it kicks me in the teeth. On the usual, you know, but it's the most rewarding, you know, and people ask, gosh, why do you do it? Or why, you know, it's just
say that.
Yeah, I wasn't finished. You know, I was ready. I wanted after, and this really, you know, when you start in 2019, right before the pandemic, it's tough. Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of us that, you know, a lot of brands like yourself, it just,
absolutely. We've seen a lot of brands
fold,
maybe didn't make it or yeah.
Yeah. So you have the tenacity and it's an accomplishment.
They probably chose.
Yeah, you know, of course.
There's choices made.
Of course. Of course.
I think if you thrive on, if you're an entrepreneur and it sounds like you've done a lot of things and now you're really thrilled with what you're doing, mm-hmm. it's probably because of the creative energy that you put into it.
Yes.
And as I think, if that is a part of my core, I can't stop thinking of like, we should do this or we should do that.
Right.
And I'm sure there will come a time when I start to kind of fade out of that. But I don't think in my career prior to this, I was actually really feeding that. And now that's almost entirely what I do.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Outside of all this. All the other, yeah.
All that other stuff.
All that other stuff, exactly. You know, we just yeah. And I say it all the time. I have the opportunity of working the best young women and meeting people all the time. And working with my daughter in this business has been, I get the opportunity of working with my best friend. It's just fabulous. So
that is a very lucky situation.
Yes, very. Because it's not always that way, for sure. She still likes me.
She still likes you, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about trends. Because trends in fashion, how much do you lean in to trends? Because obviously the notch collar blazer is not a trend.
It's pretty timeless.
It's a timeless staple. So how do you lean into trends?
I mean, we do, even with the blazer, we will, every season we release one or two colors that are seasonally trendy. But trend, where trend used to be a real driver of everything, you know, I remember early in my earlier years of developing brands, it was all about the trend. Like, is it short skirts? Is it long skirts? What is it? And it's a little less that way. It's so much more about personal style and then maybe layering in some things that are trendy, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think we tend to, maybe the biggest thing happening right now is kind of this low-key luxury thing where it had been big brands and logos and people are starting to kind of want to be a little more minimalist about that.
Yes.
You know, and maybe you don't want the big Gucci.
For sure.
I don't know. You know, I still love the brands and the design and just their, you know, the creative direction of those brands. But they had gotten kind of label driven. And now they're moving into like, how do we really put out who we are as a brand? And as that happens, you know, do you recognize what those big brands do without their logo being on it? And with that, I think people are able to kind of pick and choose their luxury pieces and be a little less outward about it.
Right.
You know, I think the trend is low-key luxury, but I think we all sort of want to be our own brand, you know,
and personality.
And personality. And so finding your look really leans into that.
I have to tell you, you know what my favorite notch collar is?
What?
By far.
Which one?
And no, I'm not selling it, y'all. It's the cappuccino with the hot pink lining. I love it.
A great item. We're bringing it back for fall.
Are you?
I think we're sold out of it right now.
Yes, I know.
Everyone loved that.
People ask me all the time. I'm like, but this, you know, but love it. Love it so much.
Yeah,
it's coming back in the fall. Yay. Okay, good. Good to know. I can't wait to style that one.
It is.
We have more. So how do you determine a price point when you have a brand? How?
Our intent has always been to be under 100 with some of our best basics. And it's been hard. As over the past 5 or 6 years, things have gotten more expensive, and we are a U.S. brand. We produce in other countries, but we intentionally try to stay in that space, and then we bring in fashion pieces that are over that price. But I think in general, we feel like that's a really important space for our audience, and especially to span through, you know, age groups, whether you're young and starting your career or you know, kind of going through life, really. We want our pieces to be great quality, but in a price point that, you know, you can kind of feel really good about.
Exactly. There it is.
I mean, and I think that's more important now. We're hearing more of our customers are saying, "Ah, thank you. I love buying a blazer at $99. And, you know, it's hard to find.
It is. Yeah. It's very difficult, especially.
I think they're telling us not to raise our prices, but.
Exactly. I know, but right now with inflation, it's just very difficult, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
tough. Try to keep the best.
I know, it does.
We're going to see what happens.
What are your goals and aspirations with Gibson Look? I mean, have you hit it? Are you,
No, I think we have been for the past 4 years primarily on our Gibson Look platform, selling only on our site. We do sell. We have product at some of the retailers that we were doing business with before, and we're starting to see that really pick up. So I think we'll start to go back to both, to being direct consumer on our own platform and also in the places where they where they found us before. At the end of the day, we really want to meet the customer where they're shopping and make sure that she's seeing us in the places that she's frequenting. You know, people are getting out more and they're in stores. And so if we can go back to the retailers that we were doing business with and she can find us there, then hallelujah.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Do you find people really do shop online now a lot? Right?
They do.
It's amazing.
They do. And we have customers all over the country. And we have some customers internationally, and we haven't done that yet. So wow. I imagine there's a lot to come.
I know. I get it.
I'm not done. During an age, my mom, she retired at 65. And so I was always like, oh, I'm going to retire at 55. Or mm-hmm. I don't know, my generation, I feel like that was kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But as I got older, I just felt like there's so much more. I approach things so differently now, so much less emotional. I have a little bit more passion, which sounds emotional, but less stressed about it.
Right.
That might just be that my kids are older, and mm-hmm. so I'm not trying to balance as many things. But I have loved being able to do this during this time.
Cool.
So I'm not done.
I'm telling you, my husband retired, and I ask him all the time, and he had a very large corporation, and I asked him all the time, do you miss it?
Uh-huh.
He's like, no.
No.
Do you want to do something else? No,
yeah.
It was a hard industry when he was in,
yeah.
But I'm with you. I don't think I'll ever retire. I really don't. You know, I'll always have my hand in it because it feeds my mind. It feeds my soul. I meet people like you. You know what I mean? I'm connected
and
we're working our brain.
Which is, I mean, I think that there's something so important to that, you know.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. You have to work your brain.
And it keeps you young.
Yes. You
know, I may change how I approach it or how much I want to be doing it or,
right.
you know, who takes the reins and how that happens. But right. I'll want to be involved or I will want to do something else. I also really love helping other entrepreneurs and I love teaching what I know and I anticipate doing a lot more of that
right.
in the future.
You're so about women empowerment too, and it's so good for us that you are. What you've done at Gibson Look is just trickling down to us. We're all working together, you know, to make each other's dreams come true and to share with our audience fashion and give them ideas.
Yeah,
you may find something on my site that you may not see on another. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you. I respect you and trusting me and so many other influencers that aren't here in the room, of course. But
yeah,
thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes. And you're in Texas. Have you been here before?
I've been to Texas before. Sure. Yeah, we've been here a couple of times. We have a lot of customers here. And we have a lot of influencers that we work with here. So we make it here once in a while.
Well, good. Well, welcome to Texas. And thank you for being on the show and coming in and sharing everything with you and with us and all of these followers and listeners. And hey, you can find, I'm going to say this for you. Instagram is Gibson Look. It's just at Gibson Look. One word, everyone.
Correct.
Susie Turner has an Instagram as well, but we're going to have all this in the show notes, but a closer look. I want people to go and listen to your podcast.
Yeah,
how exciting. How exciting. And y'all, we feature so many of the Gibson Look items on my page. And you see that and you can go right now to YouTube and see this fabulous. So amazing. I love this jumpsuit. So everyone, thank you so much for listening.
Well,
thank you very much for listening, following along. And you know what I always say every single time, keep being fabulous.